Hello, Internet family. This is Anjanette Potter, also known as Adam's Rib, and you are listening to Friday's Live at Noon. So, unless you've been under a rock, I have two topics I want to discuss this morning. You know, I know today Fridays are supposed to be dedicated to the issue of salvation, and I have a few scriptures that I'm going to go over with you guys. But I also was attempting to record a podcast last night and this morning, but I decided to go ahead and make this a dual topic. So unless you have been, under a rock, you have been paying attention, you know that there's been a little bit of a beef between comedians D.L. Hughley and Monique. I did a prior podcast about Monique's eraser, and it was called, and I'll find the link and leave it wherever this podcast is going to be so that you can go over it if you want. And I talked about respectability politics and how it kills Black women. And it kills us in many ways. And like I said, I don't want to go too much into it because I'd like for you to listen to it, you know, for those that may have listened to it. I talked about Monique's eraser and how many people were, and it almost seemed like a conspiracy to a degree, were judging Monique and going after Monique and, you know, that whole girl, you better get that money type stuff. Like a lot of people don't seem to understand, you know, people tell you to know your worth until you demonstrate that you know your worth. Then you're bitter and all of this other crazy stuff. And so I discussed, you know, the whole Netflix thing, her stuff with Lee Daniels and different stuff like that. And I, you know, because I did my own little research on it, and I talked about the fact that I understand why she's upset, because, you know, out of the performers that were being offered deals with Netflix for a comedy special, they were all being offered, you know, into the millions, and they wanted to give Monique six figures. And I'm like, and I ask, ironically, I commented on one of the, actually it was DL, and I said, would you have accepted that kind of money? And never really got, you know, didn't get a direct response there. But usually whenever I say something, if it's something that somebody if enough people, I guess, ask that person that question, then they will typically address it on other forums like Vlad TV, Andy Cohen's show, This Is What Happens Live, and different other places where they may be asked that question, or at least, you know, ask, well, what do you think about this whole thing that she has going with Netflix? Now, what Netflix did, their response was to do, I always call certain things that special type of gaslighting that is constantly aimed at Black women. And that is, we won't out and out, you know, address you or have a beef with you. What we will do is find somebody else that fits your demographic, offer them the same thing that you've been asking for, and give them the exact terms that you wanted, and still not give you what you want. Right. And so I always find it interesting that when women, you know, voice their displeasure, you know, we're called bitter, vindictive, difficult, and every other thing. But there's a piece of footage of Bill Moyer around, and it was when he was younger because he had less gray and a whole lot more hair. and looked a little bit less like white establishment. And so in this footage, Bill Maher is having a fit. There's some kind of technical difficulties going on, which I definitely understand. And he's talking about the technical difficulties he's experiencing with whatever it is they're doing. I don't know what it is, but whatever it wasn't to his liking. And so he starts cussing and he says, "Well, fine, we'll just do it live. Just do it live." he's doing it, and I've seen the picture, I've seen the clip, like on various. I've seen it with, what is it, Watch Mojo. I've seen it on different other where they were talking about people who didn't act really good behind the scenes. And so I always think it's interesting that men can have fits, can go wherever, and you never hear them called bitter. You never hear about them being blackballed. It took all, if you watch the movie Bombshell, I mean Bombshell, and I advise that you do. Bombshell is sort of a take on the scandals at Fox News that involved three of their top white female anchors. And it's pretty much their story about how they were treated behind the scenes. And one of the characters was Bill Maher. And at the end of the movie, they talk about how the women, were able to get a settlement because of the sexual harassment and everything else that they endured. Bill Maher and the few of the other guys that they got rid of were still able to retire with a severance package, a combined severance package of $61 million. Right. So once again, that special type of gaslighting that seems to be aimed at black women. It's not a measure of your worth. Okay. Tell that to a white male and see how far you get with that reasoning, 'cause you're not going to pay less than what they're worth. Okay. And that whole fine art of negotiating a salary or pay or what you should be getting started there. And it's funny because women are starting to learn how to negotiate and not settle for the first offer. And I looked at the figures, and I'm like, okay, I'm like not even in the entertainment industry. I'm not a manager, none of that. I would be happy to sing background for many of my favorite artists. So the whole headline thing, I'm like, child, I got a minute, okay? But like I said before, I can understand it when there's money involved, because the headliner may be the one that's going to make more money than anybody else's. They may be being offered more money than the other acts are being offered. I personally still think that they need to reach out to the promoter, any media, who really wants to get to the bottom of things needs to reach out to the promoter, because I think really the promoter, if both their documentation is accurate, then the promoter sounds a bit janky. Okay, that's just my thing. So why, DL accused Monique of weaponizing her femininity. And the problem with saying a woman is weaponizing certain things is that a man, and you're not living with the things that women are living with when it comes to pay and power and equities and inequalities. My only thing on her end, and I'm not going to say she's wrong for defending herself, but I think anytime a woman defends herself, you have to take the chance of being called difficult. I think there's a term in psychology and learning psychology called habituating. So habituating is what happens when you have enough of a stimulus and there's nothing coming behind it. So let's say you are doing classical conditioning. We had a simulated lab rat that we had to work with. And so the lab rat, to condition them to do the free, if you've ever come upon a rodent, if you've ever come across a squirrel or a rat or any type of rodent, you know that when they are afraid, they freeze up. So they have what they call, that's the way that they measure if a rodent is afraid, is that they freeze. They freeze up on you. So freezing is a way of measuring the freezing response is a way of measuring whether or not you properly instilled fear into a lab rat. And so what we were asked to do was condition our lab rat to freeze at the at a tone. So the way to do this is you give them the tone and then you administer a shock. I know this sounds really, really bad. You administer some, you get them to associate the bell or the tone with that shock. And so once they've been conditioned enough, when you show them the tone, they immediately freeze because they anticipate a shock coming with it. Now, so what does it mean to habituate? To habituate, that means if they see the tone enough times, but there's no shock, eventually your habituate gets so used to seeing that tone and they don't see the shock that comes with it that they begin to, they're free, the freeze reflex begins to habituate. They no longer respond to it. Well, with women, because we've heard men talk call us difficult so many times for things that really don't make us difficult, that after a while the charge of being called difficult no longer gets a response out of us. And not that we should be getting any type of consequence for being quote difficult, because it depends on what you're defining as difficult. Okay, many times it can be just the act of standing up for yourself. And many of us as women have associated sticking up with ourselves with some type of punity, with some type of being punished, because we oftentimes are. Now, am I saying no, that women should be punished for standing up for themselves? Not at all. Okay. You should never be punished for merely defending yourself against unjust behavior. So, both comedians, which is why I think it was a janky promoter, until the promoter stands up and says something, because both people have presented proof, you know, that they were promised the headline position. And so when you have stuff like that happen, then the person who issued that needs to come forward. And they haven't as of yet that I've heard of. Like I said, I'm not going to call I'm not going to label this promoter as janky, but what I am going to say is they could very well have been. I don't know because I wasn't there for all of it. DL has given his behind the scenes account of what took place and how they were slated to perform and how Monique basically tried to change the order, which is, you know, what he's saying about her. Now, of course, you know, she has since gone live with her husband, Sydney. And, you know, discussed why she came for him. And I've been seeing, because I didn't get to see the actual live. By the time I clicked on the actual live, she was saying, "Good night, my babies," and went on. And unfortunately, I don't think, I have to look, but I don't know if Instagram, how long Instagram keeps, because it was out of her stories. And I don't know how long they'll stay. I couldn't get back into it or anything like that. So I'm learning to be at stuff on time if I want to hear all of it and report it. So So according to Monique, what she was, her coming for him, is because of not just this one incident, but years of public commentary that he's given, which I have to say that if you're going to have a radio show, which she's done radio before, I remember her having a radio show, very popular radio show, here in Columbia. Her radio show was on our local stations here in Columbus, and she actually had the same time slot that DL occupies now. Now, I'm not saying Team Monique or Team DL in this because I like them both, and I hate that, that this is even a feud at all. But according to her, stuff that he said over the years when she was going through her whole blackballing, or what I call her erasure, because they never really completely blackball women. What they do is try to erase our existence altogether and try to act like we never existed at all. Completely ignore our accomplishments, completely ignore everything that we bring to the table professionally. So when I hear, because of course we've heard the Johnny Depp victim verdict, and Tawana, the black lady who started Me Too, Tawana Burke, stating that Me Too hasn't went anywhere. So Me Too is not just men misbehaving sexually, which is a big part of it. It's about the prevalence of misogyny and injustice that is aimed at women. And part of that movement is the same thing that feminists have said for years, pay inequity. Even in the world of entertainment, you could say, well, rich people's problems, but the bottom line is, most top-notch actresses are not being offered the same money that their male counterparts are being offered. So when you couple that, so it's easy to sit over here and say, oh, the woman is bitter or this, that, and the other. Now, I don't know whether or not he refused to go on or not. He could have basically been refusing to go on because he was offered the same spot she was. Right. So when you see that, then you kind of understand a person refusing to go on. Like she said, yes, yeah, she could have refused to go on, but then she would have not been honoring her own contract with them. Yeah, so there's a whole lot that you have to consider. And once again, as the woman, you're expected to be the peacemaker, to give in, and to go ahead and let the show move on, even though, we got all this going on behind the scenes. Like I said, personally, on her part, I still believe she should have went ahead and done her set. I'm not asking anybody to pretend that whatever's going on, that you're not suffering from some type of injustice. And right now, I think it's the injustice of bad business practices, possibly. You know what I'm saying? We haven't heard from the promoter yet. But what you're, her what she's going through, because I don't personally do tea, but what you're looking at is, like I said, a lot of the things that women have to look at whenever we are defending ourselves or talking about something. Like, I said before, the die has already kind of almost been cast, because now you have yet one more guy who's saying you're difficult to work with and this, that, and the other, and the common denominator is you. Well, the common denominator could be her. The common denominator could also be sexism. The common denominator could also be not being treated as an equal. Okay. I mean, like I said before, when it comes to this whole thing of women's rights and the fight for equal rights, especially those of us that share genitalia, both those of us that are women, all of our fights are not going to be identical because all of us are looking at different things. With black women, it's the whole issue of intersectionality. Not only do we have to deal, you know, not only do we have to fool with racism, but we also have to deal with discriminatory practices that are also based on sex. And the bad thing is that some of it is so ingrained. You know, you have so many men. I heard the one comic called Jada Pinkett Smith a bitch. Okay, I'm not going to say his name, but, you know, refer to her as a bitch. Like, I ain't getting, you know, no bitch, blah, blah, blah. So you have thought processes and behavior that is so ingrained in the culture that confronting the people who are guilty of it is almost like an exercise in futility, or you almost sometimes feel like you're beating, coming up against a brick wall. But it is worth it to demolish that wall. It is worth it to demolish the wall because there are prizes on the other side of that wall, especially for those young ladies that come behind us. I know that myself, we are definitely benefiting. Like I said about the whole Roe v. Wade thing, if you have any rights that came as a result of somebody carrying a picket sign, or somebody taking hits, or somebody taking L's, you know, as, and when I say taking L's, I'm talking about the personal sacrifices that come with being persecuted for fighting for what you believe, or fighting for equality, or fighting for what you have a right to have. I've heard a few people, you know, say with Monique's thing, are you really fighting for women? Are you really fighting for yourself? And I'll say this, sometimes it takes going through something personally for you to see just how fucked up situations are. Okay. Sometimes it takes something messed up happening to you for you to see just how messed up the system is. I'll tell you the truth, and I said this before with the whole Johnny Depp thing, I smelt manosphere all over it. And manosphere is the men's rights groups who, for whatever reason, anything, seem to exercise a bit of tone deafness when it comes to women defending their right to have even a little bit of what men have enjoyed a long time. And a lot of times as a Black woman, when you think the men who share your color would be a little more sensitive to what you deal with, and many times you feel like you're talking to a brick wall or two because of the whole, like I said, well, you're bitter. What do you think is contributing to the bitterness, if it's bitter? If it's just about bitterness. Like I said, I don't know what transpired. Transpire backstage, but I do know the weaponization of the word bitter as it pertains to women, and especially Black women and other women of color. Because like I said, whatever injustices white women go through, it's even worse when you couple race with it, any other dynamic. It could be your religion, it could be your cultural background, it could be you're an immigrant or whatever. My two and possibly three are racism, sexism, and people's misunderstanding about what Christianity entails. So I suffer a lot of religious persecution too online, because people find out that you're a born-again Christian, and Lord help you if you admit that you are a female that has aspirations in ministry. People will act like you shot their mother. I believe Monique performing her set, I don't believe in allowing the actions of men. And like I said, this is not anti-DL, because I really honestly believe that this was more of a misunderstanding based on the folk that they, the fact that they were both able, because now the argument is whose proof is more valid. And I'm saying the fact that you were both able to produce paperwork says that you need to be getting with this promoter And I'm looking, I'm like, okay, the paperwork is dated March 28th and 29th and all of that. So you mean to tell me between March and now, these people couldn't have got that stuff straight with y'all before you had to come on and perform? So something about that already looks crazy. I have a problem when men talk about women. Do women weaponize femininity? Some of us do. I don't know that that's what's going on here. But the problem with calling, I have been going through a thing here recently with a local denomination. And so, and this is going to sound crazy because most people outside of Christianity pretty much know that most born again Christians of any color don't believe in sex outside of marriage. Well, I decided to live by that. I don't believe in sex outside of marriage. Some of my worst attacks have come from within the church. And it's funny how people will, will say, well, you're using sex as a weapon. Well, being that I'm not married to anybody yet, being that I'm not married to anyone yet, how do you withhold something from men that they're not entitled to? Now, I've already pretty much done my own digging and research behind the particular called, excuse me, denomination that is doing most of the attacking. And recognize that there's some other stuff going on. When you hear really, really weird prophecies and hear really, really weird words from the Lord that involve sexual behavior that have no basis biblically, which is why I chose to start teaching on salvation, because I'm hearing a whole lot of wickety, wickety whack nonsense that have nothing to do with your salvation and have everything to do with somebody's desire to depart you from your panties. Okay? So one of the reasons why I have a problem with people accusing women of weaponizing femininity is because then it becomes an excuse to ignore some really, really legitimate beasts. Now, that's not me delegitimizing Monique, because many times a lot of women identify with the woman who's being spotlighted because they understand not being treated fairly. And then, on top of not being treated fairly, feeling like, well, I got to turn around and be the sacrificial lamb and go on here. Now, I saw different responses. I've seen even different clips of responses, even as far as this show goes. And I'm like, here it is, it's starting. So once she left the stage, the guy who had to, the master of ceremonies, made a remark like, what in the heck was that? So once again, you are the target. And a lot of times, let me see here, get back in my notes. You have a lot of men who get a real strange secret thrill or power trip out of women reacting to injustice. So this is why I said she should have went ahead and done the set that she originally had. And then, I'm not saying ignore, because if I really felt like DL was pulling some mess on me and I had to go on before him, you had better believe there would be a nice big chunk out of his ass when I got done performing. Okay? If I felt the necessity to take a chunk, yeah, he'd be walking around with teeth marks in his behind, and not because of anything sexual, okay? But because I've had my moments in hair and any other professional endeavor where I've had to go ahead and do what I need to do to get this done and get my money. And then behind the scenes, if I got to take a chunk out, if I got to take a nice slice out of that hiney, I'm going to take a nice slice out of that hiney. Him or them promoters. I personally think she should have took a chunk out of them promoters, because they're the ones who make the arrangements and make the agreements, and you're both sitting over here with paperwork thinking that you're the headliner. Like I said, I know this doesn't make me an expert, but I've watched enough courtroom shows where people, I've even seen famous people show up on like Judge Mathis and different ones where they were dealing with a promoter that was pretty janky. They exist. Some of these venue, some of these promoters can be pretty janky too. So, and what I mean by janky is dishonest. I want both of you at my venue. I want both. I'm promoting this event and I really want both of you there. You're both big names. You both have the ability to put asses in seats. If I can get you both there, man, this will make me some money. So let me go ahead and offer both of you the headlining position just so I can at least get you there. And then both of you can work that out once you get here. I mean, it happens. Okay. Let's see here. And as far as, DL saying he was warned not to work with Monique, as I said before, and I see that Monique is going live right So, I'm not going to be able to make it because I got my own stuff I got to handle here. So, I do see where Monique is going live. She could be exercising. I don't know. Because I do follow that account. But like I said before, and so DL saying that he was warned not to work with Monique. So I thought that was interesting because it's more establishment of the difficult woman archetype. So now you have people that have established her the difficult woman. So and not that I'm trying to make like there's a conspiracy against poor Monique, but the bottom line is, we're left with the unfair task of having to we have to be professional. We have to do what we're supposed to do. Once again, it's in the woman's lap. And I have articles here that I was going to read, but I'm not going to go into it. I remember one of my former pastors fell out with a friend, and his wife was kind of, using it as an example to teach. And so she said, she said, she and the other wife tried to make peace between them. Nothing wrong with making peace. We're called to both men and women. To be peacemakers when it comes, it's mentioned in the Beatitudes. We're all called to be peacemakers as children of God. However, and like I said, both men and women. But I do believe in their case that this goes with the promoter. I think, the promoter, I think, until I hear more about whatever's going on, I do think that the promoter. So may need to come forward and, defend their promotion of this event. So I'm gonna go. So let me go into today's topic. Today's actual topic. I think, like I said before, as women, this is, some of these public things that you see going on. I'm personally, I'm glad that the whole Amber Heard Johnny Depp thing is over because all I kept seeing on my screen was this very horrible trial. And I kind of felt like the same, I had the same sentiment as their marriage and family therapist that the abuse was mutual. Yes, and yes, it can be mutual. Because if you've ever been in a situation where, you're the abused, you feel like you're being abused or being mistreated in a situation, so you start to both do a whole lot of little stuff back. Okay, a very histrionic relationship, and not the so for me, a histrionic relationship is a relationship that's characterized by a lot of drama. On both sides. Every time you turn around, one of them is doing something to the other one. They might have, and I've seen couples like that where you see them and they're in their honeymoon phase and, oh, it's all good. But, it's just a matter of time before that drama amps up again. And yes, it can be, because it's really a battle for power. And so both of them were from very abusive backgrounds, according to what we were hearing and everything. I thought the whole move to have it televised was and go live from the courtroom was a bit of a tactic to allow for the court of public opinion to influence the case. I definitely saw a lot of manipulative tactics on both sides. I personally believe that neither one of these two people should ever reunite ever again. It was just wild. But also saw a lot of manosphere-like tactics as well. The whole petition to have her removed from her movie and pay her back for everything that he suffered. Never mind, he said his own self that he was not, that even if he got a chance to return as Dr., as Captain Jack Sparrow, I think it is, he wouldn't do it for the sixth time. He wouldn't do it. So I'm like, okay, just seemed like there was just a lot of hanky-headness there too. I agree with Tawana Burke. Me Too isn't going anywhere, and I'm still going to stay a staunch supporter of Me Too, because I still believe that there are a lot of victims, mainly female. You men always want to be fairly represented, and I'm like, well, first of all, women aren't even being taken seriously when it comes to these charges. Because of the, the issue of rape myths, the issue of common stereotypes that are associated with the behavior that they're complaining about. And like I said, it isn't just sexually motivated behavior. It is also power issues, career goal issues. Women are, just about every, when you think about the fact that just about every, thing that women are breaking into and making enormous strides, I might add, used to be dominated by males. It's like I said about Oscar so white. Why are you surprised that they're so white? When you think about, Hattie McDaniel, and you think about a lot of African-American firsts, okay? The entertainment industry has pretty much largely been white the whole time. So why, I'm never shocked. Like, as an African-American woman, I can never be afforded the ability to be too naive when it comes to different power situations in this country at all. No, I'm not going anywhere. It's just a simple fact. I've lived in the U.S. all my life, and I'm going to stay put. Okay, but you also have to reckon with the fact that this has not always been the land of the free for everybody. We haven't all had the same opportunities. Many of the opportunities that we have had are opportunities that somebody had to carry a picket sign for us to have. Okay, the right to vote. The right to be able to be paid fairly. The right to have a job at all, the right to be able to sleep at night and not have to worry about anybody night riding or doing anything that violates our rights. Okay. And much of the stuff that the people were doing at the time was illegal. Murdering people because you think they did something to a white woman is illegal. Okay. Murder is still illegal no matter why you're doing it. Okay. So let's, so I had some scriptures here. So today's teaching on salvation, I was talking about why I don't believe in predestination. I think it's always interesting when people have a doctrine that they defend, and it seems like the more erroneous the doctrine is, the harder some people will defend it. And I'm starting to see that many people aren't defending it because they believe that it's necessarily right or that they bought into it. They're defending it because the doctrine gives them certain liberties that they might not have had. And it's not really that they believe in the doctrine all that hard. Many of the people are perverting that particular doctrine because it helps them to be able to say predestination when really what they're covering is sexual harassment. Okay, because even people who have bought really hard into a doctrine recognize sin. So I see a lot of stuff going on. Let me see here. Now, even though I don't believe in predestination, I do believe one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:28. And I'm going to go ahead and click on that. So when I go to a particular scripture, I have a tendency to like to go to the scripture before and after it. So those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you know that Romans 8:28 in the King James says that, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And all things mean all. That means even the negative things that have occurred to you in your lifetime can work together for your good. It can come out towards your good. It can come out toward maybe the injustice that you suffer may lead you to stand up and carry a picket sign. So it can all work together in your best interest, in your good. So verse 27 says, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God and on God's behalf. I'm reading the I hate when the screensaver shuts down and now you gotta wait for your screen to light back up. Okay. So he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Number 29, for those he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, a scripture that is constantly perverted, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored amongst many believers. And if you are a fan of the King James, you know it says the firstborn of many brethren. So I don't necessarily believe that that is a predestination packet scripture, even though many people who believe in predetermination will use that and say, see, it says predestined. Yeah, but foreknowledge is not causative. I can foreknow something that doesn't, I can foreknow that the garbage trucks in your city, in your neighborhood, are going to stop and pick up your garbage at a particular time and place. Now, I foreknow that based on a long history with living with my grandmother who had regular garbage disposal, garbage men who came at a certain particular time, my own, you know, knowledge of garbage men who come to apartment complexes that I live in based on my mother being a homeowner and having garbage men who came on a regular day and having to have the garbage out so that the garbage will be picked up or sit around with some smelly garbage outside your house for another week. And if you're anything like some neighborhoods, you know, I know here in certain neighborhoods, the holidays have gets moved back. So then you really got to make sure that it's out there. They won't pick it up. Now, you know this based on your agreement with your neighborhood and in that particular city and wherever you live, that being the case. Now, for knowing that's going to happen, you're not causing that to happen. This is something that you already know, like I said, based on your agreement with the city that you live in or the ordinance of the place where you live and their rules and bylaws concerning garbage disposal and pickup. And many people keep wanting to say, well, see this, and it becomes perverted because now you have other people who darken up the use because now they're using it to cover up for human trafficking and different other things. Well, you know, see, it says right here, he predestined, okay, but he also knows those that are his. And so I have a real problem with people who pervert scripture and then use it for other purposes. So let me see here, because I had another scripture that I wanted to look at. Okay, so this one is a scripture that I like to use. One of my favorite scriptures, because it talks about, you know, your leaning and trusting on God. So this is John 16, and I'm going to read verses 32 and 33. So it says, take careful notice, an hour is coming and has arrived when you will all be scattered, each to his own home. Now, this kind of makes me smile because I think this kind of makes me chuckle a little bit because I think about the whole pandemic and how at one point we were all confined to our own homes and couldn't really leave except to maybe walk around outside or be out during certain hours. We had to be off the streets. But he also says, leaving him alone. This is Jesus' words to his disciples. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I think it's important that when people like myself have been away from a church and people, well, don't you miss the Lord? No, why would I miss him when I'm not absent from him? I'm still in the number. I'm still saved. Nothing happened to my salvation because I left a very dirty church. Okay. And number 33 is the one that we tend to like the most. And that is, I have told you these things so that in me you will have perfect peace. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, undaunted, and filled with joy. For I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. So what that means is, you know, even though the world may say, you know, if you listen, one of the different types of ground that Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower, he talks about the ground that receives the word with gladness and everything else. And then the cares of this world pluck it out. You know, you get home, you hear the word with gladness. Somebody, you listened to one of my podcasts and got encouraged, and then you came off your computer and you went and you find out that some charge has been leveled at your charge card, and so you don't have what you need to pay for something or some other little egregious or the bills or somebody has tacked a notice on your door saying that you have so many days to come up with an ungodly amount of money or we taking something from you. Those are people you... I hate when this happens. Okay, I'm not about to leave the studio. So these are things that happen in... Okay. This is part two of Friday's Live at Noon, teaching on salvation. My phone is acting the fool too. So we all know about supernatural warfare. And supernatural warfare can take place through your equipment. So as I've said, I'm going to be of good cheer because I know that Jesus has already overcome the world and its systems. This is where supernatural intervention comes in. This is where believing God for his ability to deliver you. I remember going through a situation in the first church that I belonged, and one of the things, a woman came to me and gave me a word, and she said, my word to you is, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord hath delivered them out of them all. So you hear that God already has provision. He's just looking for you to take a hold of it. So taking a hold of it can be believing that it's going to happen, believing God for his supernatural intervention to make a thing happen that you want to happen, knowing that he can order your steps to get whatever it is you want done. Okay, it's a done deal. The word of God says that his promises are yea and amen. So the first thing that you have to ask yourself is what I'm asking for his will. Now, versus the likelihood, I am a research person. And because of my studies, my undergrad I have a Bachelor of Arts in the field of psychology. So psychology, along with sociology and a lot of other social sciences, is what I call a softer science. Not pseudo, but softer. So we do research. When you see these academic journals, those are people who have done the research that we utilize in our therapy sessions with people. The likelihood of a specific type of therapy working for a particular thing that you're coming in to see us about, what they call a presenting problem. So the presenting problem is the thing that brings you to the therapist to begin with. Problems in your marriage, problems with one of your children, mental illness, maybe undiagnosed and undiagnosed, the things that you bring before us. So I kind of like to use what I've learned even in the field of ministry, because if you are a studier of the scriptures, then you have to think, well, what is the likelihood that God is in the corner of anybody that's, you know, attacking you? Okay. Let's say, you know, you have a pastor, because I talked today about sexism and Me Too and different dynamics that affect women. So what is the likelihood that God is supporting men who are sexually harassing you? Between zero and none. And the reason why there's no likelihood that it's God's will for a man to sexually harass you is because there are too many other scriptures that support men, number one, being abstinent till marriage themselves. Okay, Paul teaches, Paul, you know, sent, Paul has two letters to the Corinthian church in which he, you know, evaluates the whole issue of, you know, and the letters are directed at the men in that church, not at the women, even though an inordinate amount of those letters are aimed at women. If you actually study the Bible for yourself, you will see that those letters were aimed at the men. Not that he was allowing the women to go around and be sexually promiscuous. He's not. If you do the rabbit trail on the Church of Corinth, there was a lot of, they were a port city. So they had problems with, you know, temples to Athena and Isis and different stuff like that. They had a problem with, you know, false temples. They had a problem with many of the women who joined their church having been temple prostitutes within these other temples. So a lot of times when you're reading, you have to think about who this epistle is addressed to and the problems that he was addressing with that particular church, because these epistles are letters read to churches that he helped establish. So he was the apostle over that church. He helped establish it, and then he placed a pastor over it. That's the job of an apostle. They go and, you know, basically the job of a missionary. They go into a land, they establish a church, they pastor over that church for a time, and then they place a pastor over that church so that they can do further work. And so addressing the Church of Corinth, he had to deal with the fact that there were a lot of ungodly influences, like a lot of big cities that are port cities that have to deal with, you know, different people who come to the city, because 9 times out of 10, Family of America Club. Oh, child, there's been so much news going on. Like, I have my thing set up so that I can get news as it comes in. So if I decide I want to do an editorial or do a commentary on a particular piece, or for like tonight, I will be doing weekend tonight, eclectic music geek podcast. I will be broadcasting live tonight. Tonight is going to be a kickoff to Juneteenth and Black Music Month. So I'll be doing both. I think I have one or two dedications to do tonight, because the music community has lost two artists. I'll go into who they are when I do tonight's show. So at midnight tonight, I will be a Eclectic Music Geek will be going live. Back to the topic at hand. So when I do apply research to things that are of a biblical nature, I can say that God is not in their corner, because they're not supposed to be having sex with you in the first place if you are not their wife. They're not entitled to sex with you. The Word of God says that the person who fornicates sins against their own body. The Word of God says, you know, that they're not to take their members, which are instruments of righteousness, and make them one with a harlot. Not that, you know, Paul is calling all women harlots. See, clearly, when you are looking at 1st and 2nd Corinthians in either book, there is no support for men getting sex out of a woman that they are not legally married to. Now, I said legally married because I've had a few slick spirits, mostly male, come and say, well, when does marriage begin? Because the Bible doesn't really establish when marriage begins. Well, the Bible talks about the laws of the land. So if in your state, the law of the land is that you are married when you go before a person who has the legal authority to pronounce you married, then you are considered married with the same rights and legal obligations that come to one who is married, then you are married. So for me, as at Adams Rib Media Ministries, you are married when you are legally married. Don't get me wrong, I do believe that there are some people who live together and aren't legally married. that are probably a little more committed to than those who are actually legally married, which is really problematic. Okay, but the bottom line is, and I say legally married, even to those that are saved in the household of faith, for your own protection, because you have a lot of weirdos who like claiming women and not telling women that they're claiming them. And some of their pastors are not anymore, don't have any more sense than they do. Okay. I've told my own story of having escaped a forced marriage situation or an arranged marriage situation in a local church here. So you have men who, because they, and a lot of times the motive is just, they don't really want to have to wait for sex. So if they can get to you and try to act like, well, I believe it's God's will for us to get together. You know, based on the scriptures, that that's probably a lie. Okay, because every time I see God using couples, they both usually generally know. Joseph did not cause Mary to abort Jesus. There's an excellent account that kind of confirms this for me. Reverend Fuchsia Pickett, who taught one of the classes that I went to with Christian Life School of Theology on the Holy Spirit, said, you know, he called her, but he also confirmed it with her husband. He didn't ask her husband's permission. You know, some men are under the delusion that God needs their permission. He don't need your permission to use your wife. He comes to you because he wants you to be in agreement. Even our Lord and Savior, you know, was confirmed through both of his parents. Mary was betrothed. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but they had not yet got legally married and consummated their union. So she was still a virgin. And so the Holy Spirit came and, you know, impregnated her. But the same Holy Spirit went to Joseph in a dream and told him, do not put her away. The child that she is carrying is of the Lord. When Sarah knew she was going to be pregnant with Isaac, God confirmed this through her and through Abraham. So usually when God is using a couple, and these are not people who wish they were together and are believing to be married, these are people who are actually married. I don't believe that God is telling a man that you're his wife and isn't making you aware that this man is your husband. I don't believe that he is telling men that it is okay for them to use you for sex. And like, first of all, we know that fornication is a sin. Okay, still is a sin. So God is not telling men to hump and dump women. Okay, making up teachings that allow you to get away with a whole lot of sexual behavior, not cool. So, like I said, you have to think about the likelihood scripturally that this person may or may not. So now you have people who want to question whether or not women are called to preach based on the one scripture that Paul was saying to a particular church. The problem is Deborah, Miriam, Anna, who was alive at the time of Jesus's birth. Different women who were called into the prophetic and into ministry. As a result, he also used Mary Magdalene to carry the word that Jesus was alive. So there are many scriptures that back up, you know, women were allowed to take the oath of a Nazarene. Yeah, the very oath that Samson, who was a Nazarene, was allowed to take. Women were allowed to take the oath of the Nazarene. So, you know, people wanting to argue for or against. But my thing is the abusive behavior that accompanies many of the men Many of the men in the church that believe that women should be silent are the same ones who are backing up a whole lot of abusive behavior toward women that we know that the Word of God is not allowing. So what is the likelihood that God is backing up men who abuse women? I have to say, I don't believe he's backing these men. Especially when you look at the behavior that they're exalting. I'm gonna go ahead and cut this off because I'm gonna go ahead. So I'm gonna go. So next week I'm gonna talk about, are we saved by works or by grace? Because many people are saying we're saved by grace. Well, I'll go ahead and take it here. So you have people, there's been a lot of things going on here lately that I'm thinking that a lot of people are thinking. I've already said I don't believe in five-step salvation. Mm-hmm. Because there are no five consecutive steps that you take. There's only one step that's important, and that's accepting Christ. So my, you know, one of my things to keep me centered throughout, you know, the whole thing of, you know, some of what's been coming at me is to remember, for it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ that you have been saved and actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. And through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself or through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God. Notice we said undeserved. Not as a result of your works or your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set that we should walk in them, living the good life that he prearranged and made ready for us all, for us, excuse me. So, still doesn't back up predestination, but it backs up one of the, and I'm going to start posting this pretty picture more often, and that is, I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Because too many people, there are too many denominations that are teaching a whole different doctrine of salvation. And once again, as I said, using it to commit all kinds of atrocious sins against women and children within the body of Christ. What is the likelihood that God is going to allow a bunch of men to sexually abuse you? None. He isn't allowing it. He does not want men running a train on you. Okay, he does not want men sexually abusing you. And I think it's interesting that so many people blame Christianity for the manosphere. And I'm going to talk about that. I have several different podcasts that I want to do, but I wanted to go ahead and get the, you know, mention my insights on the whole DL and Monique thing, because, you know, so is that doing ministry? Yeah, it is. I mean, feminism on some level, you know, addressing the concerns of the day. And like I said, it's not necessarily me going into tea. I do care. I mean, I'm not going to be one of these people who says, I could care less, blah, blah, blah. What they eat don't make me shit, but I do care because they're two of my favorite people in the industry that they're in. And I really, you know, I hate to, you know, I don't ever feel like anyone should be fake and not defend themselves, you know, one way or the other. But I, you know, I think they should be kept in our prayers. I think that their promoter, whoever, you know, did this horrible act, whoever, you know, was putting them together, when it comes to the whole issue of Mo and her battles, I am team woman. I definitely always believe in defending those causes and things that I feel like affect women, especially if they affect us unfairly. So I will be team woman. That does not mean that I do not consider men's feelings, because part of team women is letting other women know when they're wrong. Okay, I'm not your friend if I see you involved in wrongness and I don't address you. At the same time, I'm not going to say she's wrong for defending herself, but I will say that I wish she had just went. I wish she would have done her set. And the reason why I say that is because you don't want men getting together and establishing you as difficult to work with and let it affect your ability to earn a living and earn your ability to be able to continue to do your job. Because this whole thing has really not, you know, even when men behave badly, and I don't necessarily believe, you know, I have doubts as to whether or not he said, well, I'll refuse to perform if I can't be the headliner and force her to go on. You know, even if that could have been the case, unfortunately, you had the dubious distinction of you still got to do the thing that you still got to secure your own bag. That person got to live with their own conscience. And unfortunately, even when men act up, like I said, with the example of Bill Mower, he got fired and still left with a severance of $61 million, at least 30 some million, because, you know, with him and one other guy that got named. So they're not retiring. They're not being fired and have to worry about whether or not something's going to get paid. Okay, so this is one of the reasons why Me Too is still very much. Okay, sorry about that, folks. I had a little bit of an interruption, a little bit. Stay up here. So I had a little bit of a hiccup. Sorry about that. As I said, this is why I very much believe that the fight, the good fight of faith when it comes to the battle over, you know, human rights for women, and human rights needs to continue, because we are still dealing with microaggressions. We're still dealing with attitudes. We're still dealing with different things. And yes, even within the church. I remember at one point there was a church too movement, and many pastors got together and squished it. I hate when stuff like that happens, because church, that tends to me to give church a bit of an image problem. Okay, you still have people who want to keep it on the hush hush, and it'd be one thing to be have it on the hush hush if you were actually doing something about the things that women and children are complaining about, but you're not. You go with hush hush. And what you really mean is hush and continue to keep enduring abuse. Okay. My first loyalty is to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not to a denomination. It is not even to an ethnicity. I'm not divesting from the Black community or anything like that. You have to think about, when people talk about loyalty, what are they asking you to be loyal to? Are they asking you to be loyal to anything that would actually protect your best interests? Are they asking you to be loyal to harmful behavior? Are they asking you to be loyal to behavior that continues to allow injustice to continue to flourish? So I'm going to go ahead and get off here. Like I said, Eclectic Music Geek podcast will air tonight at midnight. Tonight's theme, this month's theme period for Adams Rib Media Ministry was all of my ministries. My theme is going to be Juneteenth. Also Black Music Month. We're also going to, we're going to remember fatherhood, but we're also going to remember motherhood. I didn't get a chance to really celebrate motherhood the way I wanted because we've been dealing with a lot of supernatural warfare. I know that in the world I have troubles, but I also know that in the name of Christ, I am an overcomer. The word of God says that I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So we have to, you know, people talk about attacking the church. We have to be sure that the church doesn't attack the church. Some of our biggest warfare is coming from fellow members. So I'm going to go ahead and get off here and I will talk to you guys tonight. We'll talk a little bit more. I'm going to talk about different type Juneteenth news and Black music news. There's a couple people who are hosting celebrations to Juneteenth. I still like to celebrate it for the whole month because I think there are worthy things. There are worthy things to mention all month. My screensaver on my Roku TV has a Juneteenth theme, and it's celebrating all of the worthy accomplishments of different African Americans. So I am going to. And they've changed, so it's not Black Music Month anymore. It is Black Music Appreciation Month. So I'll probably talk about some of the different forms. I missed the days when I was going, you know, when I was talking about different themes and different genres and giving you background on each genre. So that may be a thing that I do this month as well. So you guys have a good one. Enjoy your weekend. And I will see you all tonight.